your Bible and let's pick a text from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Remember, it is a Bible study and we have a lot of scriptures to refer to. Are we ready? Amen. Hallelujah. The bride of Jesus Christ. We are marching to Zion. That's where we are going. From there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 from verse 1, and we are reading it through to verse 11 for a text. Then we sit down. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 from verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. Be seated while I continue. Verse 2. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction coming upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye brethren, I love this verse from verse 4. But ye brethren are not in darkness, that day shall overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And if you extract that statement very well, when he says in verse 1, he says, times and season, he is looking at the divine agenda of God for salvation. There is a timetable for salvation, which we have been looking at. And he's saying that you have no need of it. Means the Thessalonian church, that we are grounded concerning God's divine timetable. When in verse 2 he said, for you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so coming as a thief in the night, it means he will come when people are not expecting him. He said, the next verse said, for when they shall say peace and safety. Who are they? They are the people of the world. There will a time will come when they'll be doing one thing or the other to covet peace. Looking for peace. Looking for peace. They will look for a man of peace. When they are talking about peace, peace, it is at that time, suddenly something will happen. Sudden destruction coming upon them as travel upon a woman with child. Amen. And he added, but you brethren are not in darkness. We are not in darkness too. Not only the Thessalonian church, the bride of Christ, we are not in darkness. Can we clap our hands for our God? Hallelujah. He said we are children of light and the children of day. And the children of light is the children of revelation. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It's revelation. Amen. And so I want you to take this thing very seriously. And this teaching, remember, I keep saying it every day, that this thing is not in a book, in some bookshop somewhere. Because the truth is, God designed it that way. Because the bride is different from the concubine. There are things that everybody can know, but there are some things that everybody should not know. Until John had the seven thunders in Revelation chapter 10, and he was about to write, and God said, you should not write it. Why? And what John saw, John was the type of the bride. What John saw that God told him not to write, it will be revealed to us before the rapture. Oh yes, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 12, he was also told, don't worry, seal up those things first. Don't bother about the time, don't bother yet. Amen. Because there's God's appointed time for everything. Once anything is written, Satan will pervert it. That is it. Once anything is already written, is already revealed, Satan will come with his counterfeit impersonations. But God is wiser than that. Praise the Lord. I can't forget. Anytime I sit down to think of the wisdom of God, I'm telling you, we never hear about the emphasis of the seven church ages, the seven star messengers. We never hear about the voice of the seventh angel. Nobody went that way throughout the first church age. The first church age came and happened and passed. Nobody took note of it. The second age came again. Nobody took note of it until the seventh church age. And watch it. It was in the seventh church age that God came and revealed to us that he has been working in his church the past six, seven church ages. He did not make that revelation known until he finished it. On the seventh church age, then he now told them, I have been working in the past six church ages. Now this is the last church age. And as soon as he said this is the last church age, the seventh church age messenger, come and see how people started impersonating. They started also making some calculation and saying, yes, after William Branham, then I am the next. I am the next. Did you hear John Wesley say, after Luther, I am next? Amen. They were just doing their thing themselves. They were just preaching and doing what God led in their heart to do. But they didn't know it was a move of God. But when God revealed that it was a move of God, everybody started coming. Me too. What is happening here now? The move of God. Did others reveal like that? It's still impersonation. Now we have people who say they are John. People who say they are this. People who say they are this. Oh, how the wisdom of God passes in our understanding. It's too late. All of you making claims. It's too late. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, no eighth angel, no chief apostle, no lead apostle, no any other office. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then they are trying to push that to Pastor Moses. Because once these men of God that are holding into this message of William Branham, once they have anything, big and small, that others don't have, they begin to take upon themselves some chieftaincy title. And because there are things happening in this ministry that is not happening in so many intermediate churches, if not even all of them. Now they are expecting me now to make a claim that I am some chief and chiefest and a most senior apostle. Praise the Lord. God will never use anybody like that this year, this age. Amen. Who God will use? He will make sure he will use a man that will not come and spoil his program again by making unnecessary claims. We did not plan this church to start. All of us that are ministers, if we are sincere, we have been saying it, we don't know what God wants to do in this church. I am preaching. What I'm preaching, I am preaching as he gives me to preach. Not because I occupy any special office that anybody doesn't have. Nothing like that. You have a greater number of people than others. It is not because of anything. Now you know why they gather people here. Amen. And you will soon know. Because he's not here playing games. Praise the Lord. The times are ceasing because God has an agenda. And the instruments that God uses, they are normally very humble instruments. There are not people that will come and then make some claims. What is suffered in the hand of Lucifer, he cannot suffer it again in the hand of any man. When you give a position finish, you want to claim the same position with God. God will pack you one side and move forward. He will not share his glory with anyone. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I told you that once, for those coming for the first time, that once God, what happened in the Garden of Eden did not take God by surprise. Always have that as a foundation for whatever revelation you build upon. It was not by surprise. That's why we begin to hear how our names are written in the book of life before the foundation of the world. Why? Apostle Paul called that revelation, he said, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. Amen. Through foreknowledge, your destiny was determined before you were formed. And so he has a book of life with names of people to be saved. And those names were written there before the world began. Why? Because before the world began, he knew that he would create Adam and Eve, and one creature, serpent, inspired by the devil, will spoil the show. And the whole world will be condemned to hell. But he will come in his mercy and offer his hand of mercy to the world, and some will believe and some will not believe. And before Adam and Eve was created, he saw those that will believe. He saw me that I will believe. I don't know who else. And before the foundation of the world, he wrote my name in the book of life. And we are the reason why he went to the cross on Calvary. Praise the Lord. So, he, knowing this, he had an agenda, knowing that Satan's serpent will spoil the show, he began immediately, he activated his plan to restore man back, even when it was just Adam and Eve there. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, when he spoke about the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. And we know that the seed of the woman is who? Is Jesus Christ. Amen. And the seed of the serpent, as prophesied in that verse 15, they are those who crucified him on the cross of Calvary. Because verse 15 of Genesis chapter 3 is what was fulfilled. He said, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his feet. Hallelujah. And then they were bruising him there, his feet there on the cross of Calvary. But when another point in time, hallelujah, after the 1,000 years reign, he, that seed of the woman Christ, will come and scatter him. Kata, kata. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, he ignited the agenda from Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, listen, church. God had proposed that he will save the whole world by grace. Because through his foreknowledge also, he knows that if he give us any law, the nature of sin in us will never enable us, give us the ability to live a life pleasing before him. That's why, while we were yet sinners, he already died and made provision for us, demonstrating his love. I also want you to know that when you go deeper in what is happening, I've explained in the past exhortations I gave, that whatever God did, he was just taking opportunity to display his attributes. Nothing more. We are created for his pleasure. And I told you that, I said, this earth, amen, has been in existence for millions of years. And in my own terminology, I say this earth is just God's own laboratory for testing his attributes. So, there was a time there were animals, at least we know as far as that is concerned. There were even angels first that he created. He tested them. They failed. Then he had an animal kingdom on this same earth. How long they live, we don't know. Praise the Lord. They also failed before he decided to create man to display another attribute, other attributes he has. And for man, we are only about 6,000 years on earth here. And when we finish, we will go back to eternity. The program ends with us entering eternity. We don't know what will happen after that. Whether he will create another thing or he will do another thing, we don't know. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But one thing I am happy about is that once you have received eternal life has no end. So I know whatever thing else he will do does not concern me again. I am already living eternally with him. I cannot face any temptation again. I cannot face any test again. I have had my own test and I have passed. That's why I will be with him eternally. How many people have eternal life here? Oh, thank you very much. But certainly, there will be another thing he will make again on earth here to test. I don't know what it will be. Praise God. Because by that time, Satan is totally consumed. So there will be nothing to tempt people again. So I don't know which area he will. But remember, he has the yam. He has the knife. He decides what to do with whatever he wants to do to achieve what he wants to achieve. But we need to know it. And knowing some of these things, honestly, makes you understand God better and helps you to know how to walk with him and gives you hope, those of us, that the enemy has caged everywhere. Everywhere. You see, when somebody asked me a question during question and answer one of these sessions and said, what of those who, I think he said, who, somebody killed you. If somebody kills someone, what will happen since he didn't commit anything and killed the killer? Before he gave his life to Christ, somebody went and killed him. So you are expecting me to answer that the sin of that dead person would be on the head of the person that killed him, have you? I said, no, be so. Amen. Listen, church, how you die does not matter. I mean, by which means you die does not matter. Whether by accident, by poison, by a witch, by an assassin, kidnappers, ritual killer, they kill you. Amen. Or you sleep, you don't wake up. It doesn't matter before God how you were killed or how you died. But what matters is at the time you died, what was the condition of your soul? That is what matters before God. For every man will give account of himself. And that is why It is necessary that while we are alive now, we begin to prepare for hereafter. A thought just occurred to me a few days ago. I was thinking, I was just looking, I said, a lot of human beings, a majority of human beings, are so myopic. Myopic in the sense that they don't see farther than they seem to be seen. Because the way you plan reflects on how you perceive life. There are people, if you see the way they are struggling and struggling to make ends meet and struggling. What are you struggling for? So that I can have a house, so that I can have a car, so that I can have a wife, so that I can have this, so that I can have education. And then they are planning and planning and planning. And all this plan is for you to enjoy until the day you die. But you are forgetting that after you die, it's not the end of life. So why are you planning for this life here and you are not planning for the life hereafter? You see? People are so myopic. You are struggling by all means to make it here. Even as temporary as it is. And Jesus Christ, he says, struggle, he says, lay your treasures. Where? Above. He said, we are thieves and moth will not eat it up. Don't lay your treasures here. Eh? I didn't say you should not struggle to make it here. I said there is short time plan for life. There is long time plan for life too. Plan for your life here and hereafter. Here and hereafter. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because a lot of us are just suffering from the spirit of religion. You know nothing about some, you know, way of life. But you don't know that God has a program for every human being. He said, it is appointed unto man once to die. After that, what happens? So if there is judgment, means there is another life after you have died. Amen. So, and that judgment is to account for how you live within a short space of time he gave you before that ritual killer killed you. Before that accident kill you. Before that sickness kill you. Hey, come and give account how you live. Amen. So all this teaching is to enable us, you know, prepare ourselves. And more importantly, is for us to know at what point we are in now in God's program for salvation. And at what point we are in now, and how long more are we going to wait? If we don't go by the way of the grave through death, how long more are we going to wait before the rapture? Knowing that helps you also that live a very careless Christian life to buckle up. It's true. Praise the Lord. So the mystery is a mystery and it's a program and we need to study it. God designed that he will save by grace. And we know how he did it. There's nothing that Noah did that deserved the grace that was given to him. When the whole world was destroyed, that serpentine nature was still in him. He finished that phase. He came and picked Abraham. And decided that he will use Abraham as a point of contact for the next agenda. For the next item in the agenda. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's read Genesis chapter 12. When that songwriter says, will you be ready when the Lord shall come? And everybody say, I will be ready. How will you be ready? How will you be ready when you don't know how he will come? That's why he says you should watch and pray. It is the watch now. We are watching now. So let us watch. Okay. Now this is the way he put it from verse 1. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. That was the beginning. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. God watches his word to perform it. When I read this verse anytime, I turn and I look. Is Israel not a great nation today? You know, when God wants to make a point, he will do it in a way. He will do it in a way that everybody will know this is God. Eh? See, China. 1.something billion people. Eh? India. 1.something billion people. He didn't choose them. He chose one tiny group of people, one small nation. Eh? But do you know that almost all the major scientific inventions are invented by the Jews? In medical science, in automobiles, in everything. I'm telling you, whether it is satellites, whether it is telephone, whether it is the mobile phone, the cell phones, all the technology for major surgeries, they are invented by the Jews. And 90% of all the laureates, the winners of the Nobel laureate award, 90% of them are Jews. He said you make them great. Very, very great. Hallelujah. Boko Haram cannot operate in Israel. Hallelujah. Al-Qaeda can't go near Israel and spoil their show. That day they will grab all of them. Praise the Lord. They have the gadgets to see them having meeting. They have the gadgets to see them going in their convoy. They will attack them before they even enter the convoy. Special skill given to them. Why? God's covenant is upon them. So also is God's covenant upon us here in Christ. We remain untouchable. If not, we will not be in this land now. Eh? Eh? Do you believe it? It's God's covenant here. Can we clap our hands for our God? Untouchable. Verse 2 again. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Hallelujah. Go to chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. From verse 1 again. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee. I will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abraham, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. A father of many nations, not nation. Take note of that. So he's not only the father of Israel. And the reason why he's not only the father of Israel, but the father of many nations, because he told him, in thee shall all the families of the earth, nations of the earth, be blessed. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Amen. Both good and bad. There are spiritual nations and physical nations. Praise the Lord. The Arabs are nations. They are the Ishmaelites. Good and bad. And Israel also is another nation. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to the seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Praise the Lord. And that was the beginning of God igniting another stage of his plan to restore mankind back to what he had proposed it to be in the Garden of Eden before the serpent came and thwarted it. Praise God. But now watch it. When he did that, he picked Abraham and picked his children after him. We know the story of how they were in Egypt and how he now pulled them out to go to where he has appointed for them, the land of Canaan. And while he was there, he, God, that came to save by faith, by grace, now gave them the law. And that is where so many people have gotten confused till now. The law. The purpose, there's a purpose why God gave the law. Praise the Lord. God has his own way of dealing with his children. God has his own way of, you know, stressing a point before his creatures. Amen. When God wants you to appreciate him, he will allow you to go under serious stress first. So that when he steps in, you will appreciate him. That is his principle generally. There are some of you, watch those who just received the Holy Ghost, hey, bah, a gift began to operate. They did not fast. They did not do anything. Just like that, woo, bah, just like that. They shake their head, bishop go come, shake their head. Watch the life they live. Amen. Watch those who just, you know, they don't know how it happened. Just hear money, hear money, hear money. Watch. They have no time for God. They don't even have time to pray. Amen. Now, but all those that God has a relationship with to achieve a purpose to his glory, he will do things around you that will give you reason to appreciate him. Catch it. It happens to everyone that God has a specific purpose in your life that will glorify him. That is how he does it. Praise the Lord. If he's going to use you after giving you the Holy Ghost, he will let you stay around for some time. The man by your left don't receive. The one by this one don't receive. 4 years ago, you fast, oh, you came, you no get. Hey, so me, then, while you are there crying, the pastor will speak, say, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you are not going to the rapture. You say, hey! So I'm finished. 4 years now, Father, what have I done? 4 years, every Holy Ghost baptism, had they come? 4 years, what happened? And some of you give me that call. And remember, I always answer you. I say, the evidence of water, that there is water existing, is thirst. If there is no water, you will not feel thirsty. Praise the Lord. It's not everybody that asks for the Holy Ghost. The evidence that you are a candidate for the Holy Ghost is the desire to receive the Holy Ghost. And it is God that puts the desire in you. Oh, that's the mystery. Praise the Lord. You have to catch it. So that the day He gives you the Holy Ghost, you will so cherish that experience. You will not need for fear that He may withdraw it. When you suffer well before you make money, when you receive that money, the way you will guard it. A woman that stays so long before she marry, the day she marry, whether the man good or bad, or he go holy thing. Jeje. Praise the Lord. So there's a reason why He gave the law. Hallelujah. This is the reason. Romans chapter 5. I don't say to somebody problem. No. That's the reason why God never give you. Because some will receive, even in this church. Nobody, they don't even want to attend Bible study. Let's see the whole Bible say, when will they read? They know they read Bible with us. Nothing. All they want is just pray. They can go to the mountain for more anointing, But to know that God, no. And to them, God don't give them something to eat by. That's the reason God gave them the anointing. Praise the Lord.